Janaranjana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Yasodanandana Yamunatiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamunatiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Balava Grivarjari Jaya Grivarjari Balava Grivarjari Jaya Grivarjari Yasodanandana Raja Janaranjana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Yasodanandana Raja Janaranjana Jaya Raja Janaranjana Yamunatiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamunatiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Thank you. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhadakasharya Asikara Sadushi Shriman His Divine Grace Shalasi Bhaktivedanta Swamira Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premanande Hare. All glories to the Assam devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamita Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya Deva Satarne Om Agyanativarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitam Scha Hey Krishna Karnasindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Thank you for coming. One of my services in ISKCON is I'm the ISKCON Minister for Health and Welfare. And one of our functions is that we publish every year a journal which has different, this is our last year's journal. We have a few copies left. It deals with different things like Prabhupada's quotes about health, Ayurveda as it is. One of our devotees who's a Ayurvedic practitioner wrote an article about it, about caffeine for those who drink coffee or are thinking about drinking coffee. There's an article here about Ayurveda for parents and children. There's one about your eyes. Herbal health and different news from around the world. So I have these. I have some of these copies here. If anyone would like to buy them, we sell them for $3 a piece, and I'll have them here. So I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 9. The 15th chapter is called The Yoga of the Supreme Person. Actually, I'll read text 8. Shariram yadavapnoti yatschapti ukramati shraha grihi vaitani samyati vayur ganda ivashayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Purport. Here the living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade, and if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or struggle for existence. So I'll read the verse again. Shariram yadavapnoti yatschapyukramati shraha krihi vaitani samyati vayur ganda ivashayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatun Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Satarne. Bhagavad Gita means, this is a Sanskrit word, Bhag means opulence. There are six major types of opulences, or main type opulences, that anyone may possess, namely Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashastriyaha, Jnana Vairagyas Chaiva, Shana Bhaga Hitinganaha. First one is Aishvarya, wealth. Everyone here has some wealth, but of course, I would be very surprised if we found out that the wealthiest person in Los Angeles was here now. If that's true, please raise your hand. Next to wealthiest, at least. Everyone has some wealth, but undoubtedly there's someone wealthier than anyone here. And even if we found the wealthiest person in Los Angeles, I'm sure someone in Texas is wealthier than anyone in Los Angeles. And if we found out who is the wealthiest person on this planet, according to our philosophy, there are persons even wealthier in different parts of the universe, like Kubera. We finally trace out the wealthiest person. That person is known as Bhagavan. Similarly, there are other opulences like Virya, which means strength, Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasha. Yasha means fame. For instance, at least 10 years ago, who was the most famous person on this planet? Does anyone know besides Krishna? Anyone can take a guess? What? Narada Muni. Well, not on this planet. Reagan. No, he definitely was. Sounds like an election. No, he was not. Not Clinton either. It was Muhammad Ali. Aha. But Krishna is much more famous than Muhammad Ali ever was, because Krishna is not only famous in this universe, but in all the different universes. Even people don't believe in Krishna, still they're talking about him. They say, we don't believe in him. And Aishvaryasya Samayagarasya Viryasya Yashashastriyaha. Striya means beauty. Jnana means knowledge, and Vairagya means renunciation. In other words, anyone who's very beautiful, anyone who's very wealthy, anyone who's very renounced, anyone who's very famous, anyone who's very strong, they become attractive to people. But Krishna is said to be that person who has all these different opulences to the unlimited degree. Of course, how can I prove that? Well, factually, we can prove it, because one of Krishna's opulences that he has to an unlimited degree is knowledge. And here we have before us our evidence, pramanam, that this is our evidence that Krishna has unlimited knowledge, namely the Bhagavad Gita. Because if Krishna is God and he spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, then if we study Bhagavad Gita, we should find not only perfect knowledge, but unlimited knowledge. Unlimited knowledge in the sense that one can go on reading Bhagavad Gita repeatedly and find new information every time one reads the Bhagavad Gita. As one of our devotees, George Harrison, said, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. So anyone can read Bhagavad Gita and see whether or not Bhagavad Gita is actually spoken by a person who had unlimited knowledge. And if he has unlimited knowledge, then what he says in Bhagavad Gita, he says that he's God. Of course, everyone says he's God in this world. Everyone thinks that they're more or less the best controller. And even if they're not the best controller, they're becoming educated in such a way as that in the future, their ability to manage things in the material world will be better. And everyone is trying to become the best enjoyer, because that's our nature. Everyone wants to become as happy as possible in this world for as long as possible. And in order to do that, we're trying to understand how to manage the material world to produce the maximum amount of happiness. Now, if Krishna is God, then he can tell us how to become as happy as possible for as long as possible, and he can make the arrangements for us to do that, if he's actually God. So this is the information Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita, what to do here in the world to become as happy as possible for as long as possible. So that's factually what knowledge means. Knowledge does not mean to build a civilization where everyone is very advanced or thinks themselves very advanced, but you can't breathe the air. You can't drink the water. You can eat the food at your own risk. There's so much noise, you can't think. You can't hear yourself thinking. And you're afraid of anyone who's walking behind you because you don't know why they're doing it. So such a civilization which calls itself very advanced, or the most advanced, it may have a few lessons to learn to make a little bit more advancement. Here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's beginning with explaining the basic principle of knowledge. That is, that there's a difference between the body and the person within the body. We're the person within the body, and this body that we are now presently, we can see with our eyes, we can feel That is not ourselves, although we're aware of it. So Krishna is explaining what is the difference between the body that we're presently in and ourselves. In this world, we, generally speaking, most people, if you ask them who they are, they'll say, I am the body. That is called aham. Aham means I, and kara means the doer. Because here in the world, everyone is doing most things with their car. People identify themselves with their car. If you drive down the street and you hit someone else's car, they may immediately fly out of the car with their arms out raised saying, you've hit me! Of course, you didn't hit them, you hit their car. But because they identify themselves with a car, that's called a hum car. I am the car. That's Sanskrit for the modern society. But actually, neither were the Volkswagen, nor the Rolls Royce, nor are we this car that we're driving around in presently. We're the soul within the body. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in South Africa at a conference with other lecturers. And Prabhupada mentioned during his lecture that we're presenting Bhagavad Gita, which is a science. Science which explains about the transmigration of the soul. One of the other gentlemen who were lecturing immediately objected and said, Swamiji, how can you say that what you're presenting is a science? It is a Hindu dogma philosophy. So Prabhupada objected and said, no, it is a science. And why did Srila Prabhupada say it's a science? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Deinosminyata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptir diryastatra namuyati. According to Lord Krishna, everyone has a body that's changing. Or to just give you the translation, as the embodied soul continually passes in a body which is going from boyhood to youth to old age, so similarly the soul will pass to another body at the time of death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. In other words, when Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, he did not say to Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, I am going to speak to you Bhagavad Gita because I am a Hindu god. And since you're a Hindu, it's only natural I speak to you Bhagavad Gita, a Hindu philosophy. No, Krishna did not say that he was a Hindu god, nor was Arjuna a Hindu, nor are we repeating something called a Hindu philosophy. This is a science because science means something that's applicable for everyone for all time. 5,000 years ago, Krishna was telling Arjuna that your body is changing. I think most of us will agree that our bodies are also changing. And most of us, if not everyone here, I'm sure everyone here, our bodies are getting older. We don't wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, wow, I look so much younger than yesterday. Even if you're doing your yoga exercises and eating a healthy breakfast, still the body's getting older. But we, the person who are looking in the mirror, seeing the body getting older, we're still the same person. We're still the same person that was in that little baby body that everyone was going, goo 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 goo. We're that same spirit soul within the body who now has a body which is older. Of course, we may say my personality or my intelligence, whatever we may identify with, that's also changing. But we are not the personality. We are not the intelligence. Our conception of life is changing, as mentioned in this verse. But we are a different entity. We are a spiritual entity that doesn't change when the body, the mind, the conception of life, or the personality changes. Here the example is used that air is pure, or at least we can say it's neutral. But when air passes over garbage, it smells very foul. But when that same air passes over or through roses, it smells very sweet. The air is the same, but due to association, sometimes it smells very foul, and sometimes it smells very sweet. Similarly, the soul is always the same, but due to association with the mode's material nature or this material energy, sometimes it appears in goodness, sometimes it appears in passion, sometimes it appears to be ignorant. But the soul does not change, simply its vehicle, gross and subtle, has changed. Therefore, this is true for everyone. Everyone has a body that's changing, and everyone is a soul. So this is not only the human beings. What is the difference between, as Prabhupada mentions in this verse, a cat and a dog? A dog also has a body that's changing, a mind that's changing, intelligence that's changing. But there's a living entity within the body of a dog which is not changing, which is conscious of all the different changes. Of course, we can say that human beings have more intelligence than a dog, and that's sometimes true. But when the baby is born, it is not more educated or more intelligent than a dog is. Simply by having a human body does not mean that one is superior even to the animals or to the lower species of life. Now, these bodies, they afford us or they provide us with an opportunity to expand our consciousness, expand our awareness, and in the human form of life, we have the best opportunity to be aware of who we actually are. As far as the activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, these are similar in every species of life. But only in the human form of life can we actually question who is that person within the body who is aware of the body, myself. Unfortunately, people are not very much interested in this science in present society. They're simply interested in basically two things. Money, money, sweeter than honey. This is a quote from one of our literatures. That the professional, a soldier, the thief, and the merchant, they risk their very dear lives to get some money. So why do people want money? Because they believe that money will buy them honey, get them everything that will make their lives as sweet as possible. But if we are not this body, there is another purpose of life other than simply working to get money. Not that we deny money or we deny that there are necessities for this body, just like I may not be my car, but that does not mean that I will not supply the fuel, the gasoline, the oil, the maintenance for my car that's necessary. To maintain this body also requires a certain amount of gratification of the senses. But if I simply drive my car all day long and I have nowhere to go, simply driving the car will be a waste of time. I must know what is the purpose of having a car. In the human form of life, when we have this vehicle, there's a purpose, and that purpose is to understand how to drive the car in such a way as to go to the best destination. Because there will be a destination. People may deny the fact that there's another body after we leave this body. But we've had so many bodies. Every moment we're changing our body. Therefore, after the end of this body, there'll be another body. We should know how to drive this body, how to utilize this body in such a way as to get the best destination, get the next body. Here it mentions we can get a spiritual body if we act as a spiritual being, if we revive our spiritual consciousness. Or we can get a lower species of body. And if we look around, we can see there are trees, there are plants, there are insects, There are animals such as cats and dogs. And the purpose of life is not to get one of the lower forms of life. Although people may think that if I get the body of a dog, I won't have to work so hard. I only have to do a little guarding of my house for a little while, and I get the free food, free rent. People actually pet me. They love me. All I do is have to lick them. Easy job. But it is actually not so nice. Of course, in America, sometimes it is a better deal to be a dog than it is to work so hard. But if you become a dog in India or in other places like that, it is not a very nice occupation. People do not appreciate dogs there. In some countries, they even eat them. There's one story, just one lady came to Hong Kong, and very elegant lady, wealthy lady, and she brought her very beautiful French poodle, but there was a sign, no dogs in the restaurant. So she went to a very elegant Chinese restaurant, and there was one very elegantly dressed doorman, and she gave her dog to the doorman and pointed to him and said, please, you know, she couldn't speak Chinese, she just pointed to him. And he said, and he shook his head. Yes. She ordered her Chinese meal. She thought, oh, this is very nice, so sweet. She came out and asked for her dog, and as you can guess, there was no dog. So even if you become a French poodle in a very nice house, you're still maybe in danger. Miscommunication. Or Srila Prabhupada, one time he was giving a lecture at a university, and he mentioned this philosophy that if you act like a dog, you'll become a dog. And if you act like a demigod, you'll become a demigod. And if you work hard, you may come back and get a good job in L.A. So Prabhupada mentioned this, and one student raised her hand and said, Swamiji, I just want you to know that you say that if I act like a dog, I'm going to become a dog. But I want you to know I don't care if I become a dog. I want to become a dog. So Prabhupada raised his hand and said, you have my blessings. Krishna is so kind that whatever we want, he'll provide us with the opportunity to get that particular type of body. It is not by accident that there are so many opportunities and so many different species of life. That's according to our desire. And that desire is more or less developed by our association. If you read the newspapers, if you go to the movies, if you watch television, if you go to modern educational universities, colleges, high schools, they're not encouraging people with this philosophy. They're all more or less geared up to encourage people to work hard, get money, and enjoy the senses in different varieties of ways. Therefore, people are working hard and they're trying to enjoy as they're being directed, according to what they're hearing being glorified, because everyone's glorifying someone. Especially nowadays, the athletes are very much appreciated. If someone can swim very fast, then, or can hit a ball very hard, or is very expert hitting a ball into a hole, then they become more or less glorified, that this person has almost reached the perfection of life. He's more or less very advanced. He can control his mind and senses and direct his energy in such a way as that he's become expert at a certain sport. And of course, people appreciate this, and whenever they get the opportunity, they follow this person, the Acharya, and they get up early in the morning, before Mangal Arati. They go to the golf course with their weapons, and they very concentrate, put all their energy, their prayers, in hitting this little ball, and pray if there's a God, may it go into the hole. So they're very sincere in what they're doing. They're concentrating all their energy, their efforts, their intelligence, their prayers, their breath, everything, into hitting that little ball. And if they can do it expertly, they're glorified as someone very important. Of course, if you do the same thing, you utilize your energies in the service of the Supreme Lord, utilize your mind, your intention, your expertise in his service, you're considered a fanatic, dangerous to society, not producing anything important or worthwhile, simply living off the gross national product, parasite. If you can take that same energy and concentrate it on a little ball hitting into a hole with a club, then you're considered to be more or less the acharya of the whole society. In other words, Krishna consciousness is trying to connect people with a different type of idea of what the goal of life is. Everyone knows what the goal of life is, to achieve the maximum amount of happiness for as long as possible, to come to that object, that state of being, where one can enjoy happiness perpetually. Here, Krishna is recommending that we concentrate on him, that he himself is the source of everything. He's also the source of all happiness, all transcendental pleasure. So Krishna is recommending that we concentrate on him and see if it works or not. And we concentrate on him by utilizing our energies according to his directions. That's called devotional service. If someone thinks that there is a better way of getting happiness, of course Krishna is giving them all opportunity to investigate other means of obtaining happiness. But Krishna does not recommend other methods of obtaining happiness. Therefore, in this age, Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita, and he's also giving us an even easier methodology of experiencing for ourselves whether or not this philosophy is true or not. We can study this book, Bhagavad Gita, or other such literatures, and use our intelligence and see whether it's perfect knowledge or not. Or, in this age, we can also, it is said, to chant the names of God, such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is translated as, O the energy of the Lord, O the Supreme Lord, kindly engage me in your loving service. In other words, happiness will ultimately mean to develop our loving propensity. Everyone is trying to love themselves or love their family or love the nation or love all human beings. But that as the more we can expand that loving propensity, the more we say we're happy. By loving Krishna, by becoming conscious of Krishna, one can understand how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. And therefore, as we love Krishna, simultaneously, our love for everyone and everything will expand. Therefore, there won't be any obstacles, any impediments to our love, which will expand unlimitedly under all circumstances. By understanding how everyone and everything is related to the supreme lovable object, namely Krishna. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness as put forward in Bhagavad Gita. So we invite everyone to obtain copies of this book, Bhagavad Gita, and to study it as regularly as possible. And put into practice, especially in this age, by learning how to chant Hare Krishna with full attention and full loving feelings. So again, thank you. Now is the time for the feast. Again, if anyone would like one of these copies of our Health and Welfare magazine, or if you like a Bhagavad Gita, we can also sell you one of these too. So thank you very much. Grantharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.